White Rocket Entertainment. White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 318. Hello, and welcome to On Her Majesty's Secret Podcast. This is our brand new channel on iTunes and Google Play and Podbean, where we have nothing but James Bond 24/7. 365, all James Bond shows all the time. We used to be just one segment of the potpourri that is the White Rocket Entertainment Network's podcast feed, but we've broken out. We've busted out of the volcano base, and we got our black suits on, and we're running around loose spying and talking about James Bond. And tonight, after quite a layoff, we are getting back to doing the World Cup of James Bond film tournaments. And I'll explain very briefly how that works in just a moment, but let me introduce the three of us. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I am joined for the World Cup of James Bond Films Tournament, as always, by Jared Albrecht. Hello, Jared.
Hello, Van. Made a mistake. Everyone, you said, was wearing their black outfits. I'm in a blue terry cloth onesie.
Oh yes, from Goldfinger. I love it.
So my bad, but yeah. I'll change.
Do you have the duck on your head though? Because that would set it off perfectly. And we are joined by John Ringer. Welcome back aboard, John.
Glad to be here, Van. And I'm in the tuxedo as always.
Yeah. The white dinner jacket or the is that the white dinner jacket with the red flower in the lapel?
Absolutely.
There you go. I think I'm actually wearing the black suit, but I've got the brown giant shoulder holster with the Magnum in it. So it's kind of hard to get up to the desk here to do that. So, you know, I did like how when they were doing the, in a way I liked it, when they were doing the preliminary posters for Spectre, they had Craig in all those outfits we're talking about. You remember that? Like they had a Spectre poster with him in the white dinner jacket. They had a poster of him in the black suit with the brown shoulder holster. Kind of doing the iconic, you know, of the past. Now to me the downside of that was it showed how Mendez was still living in the past and was going to take us through yet another walk down nostalgia lane, which is annoying to me. But we'll get into that more as we talk about the movies tonight. Here's what we're doing. In our first three episodes of the World Cup of James Bond films, what happened was we seeded all 24 of the Eon films into groups of four. So six groups of four, groups A, B, C, D, E, and H. I mean, A, B, C, D, E, and F. And we battled it out among them in each of the groups to have a first place, second place, third place, and fourth place finisher in terms of just how much we liked them, quality, and all that. And so we finished that. And so tonight I'm going to start out by reporting how things came out from the first round now that it is complete. So here's how things stand going tonight into the second round. The winner of Group A with 9 big points, that's the most you could get. Each of us voted a 3 out of 3 for it. What we did was after we debated them, you voted each movie a 3, a 2, a 1, or a 0 in a group of four. So You Only Live Twice got 3, 3, 3 for a total of 9. Second place in Group A was On Her Majesty's Secret Service with 6. Group B's winner was From Russia with Love, another solid 9. And The Spy Who Loved Me finished second with 5. In Group C, GoldenEye won the group with 8 points. And Dr. No finished second with 6. Group D was won by Live and Let Die, boom, for 7 points, with Thunderball at a close second with 6. And that was a close group. And then Group E, For Your Eyes Only, got first with 7 points. And Casino Royale got second with 6. That was another close group. And finally, Group F, the group winner was Goldfinger, our third solid 9. And Skyfall finished 2nd with, despite my best efforts, with a 5. So, those all advanced to the second round with the 4 highest vote-getting winners in the rounds being You Only Live Twice, From Russia With Love, Goldfinger, and GoldenEye. GoldenEye actually won Group C over Dr. No. That's pretty impressive. The other thing we did was have 4 wild cards, and Spectre, Moonraker, and License to Kill all finished with, I think, 4 or 5 points. But we need a 4th wild card, and there are 2 and only 2 movies tied at 3, and that is The Living Daylights and The Man with the Golden Gun. So, gentlemen, our first order of business tonight is to do the play-in round, where either The Living Daylights or The Man with the Golden Gun gets to do like that 65th and 66th team in the NCAA tournament and get that very... They battle each other for that very last spot in the tournament. So, we got to start out by battling it out, The Living Daylights versus The Man with the Golden Gun. We'll talk about each one very briefly because we've already done it, and then we will assign either... Let's give a... we'll just vote for one or the other, and we'll see if it's... Because there's 3 of us, so it can't be a tie. All right, does that sound good?
Sounds good. Good.
All right, so, John, tell us the Living Daylights versus The Man with the Golden Gun. Let's start with The Living Daylights. Why would you favor... how do y'all want to do it? Do you want to say... I haven't really put a lot of thought into that. Should we take each one separately? We kind of already done that. Or do you want to just kind of go head-to-head with them?
Let's just go head-to-head and say what's good versus one compared to the other one.
Go right ahead. Living Daylights versus Man with the Golden Gun, John.
Well, Man with the Golden Gun has tattoo in it.
It does. It does.
Knick-knack. As Hervé Village says, Living Daylights, you get the initial, you know, the opening scene is the big, that Gibraltar.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's quality. I admit it. I'm not a Dawson guy, but I admit it. That's quality.
And it also has the, you know, some good snow scenes with a car.
Mm-hmm.
Man with the Golden Gun, I mean, it's a different era movie. It's much slower. Ends with the kind of the mad funhouse kind of shootout with Bond.
It's a tough one.
Jared, what do you think?
I think this comes down to a question of, do you like your Bond a little bit more fun and silly, or do you like your Bond a little more serious? I think Living Daylights is a little bit more of a serious movie. We've talked about that before. You know, I am of the opinion that Timothy Dalton came in and brought Bond back to the serious basics long before Daniel Craig did, but Daniel Craig gets all the credit for it, and that's still a bee in my bonnet.
That's fair.
But like I said, great opening scene in Living Daylights. Lots of fun in the snow over there fighting in the Middle East before every movie had something happening in the Middle East. So there's a lot to like there. Had a cool fight on the cargo plane. Man with the Golden Gun, though, is a more fun movie. It's got Knick Knack, which is my new nickname, by the way, according to Twitter.
Congratulations.
It's got Knick Knack. It's got Christopher Lee, and you can never go wrong with that.
Yeah, that's strong right there, man.
That is strong.
Whew.
It's got Goodnight, who's, you know, Britt Eklund. She's gorgeous, and she's very comedic in that one. It's got the very scenic locales with the – where are those islands at? Are they in –
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was in the South China Sea.
Yeah, near China.
Yeah, so I mean, it's got a lot of scenic stuff going on, and it's weird that these movies are very different in tone, but this is a very tough decision
for me. It really is.
So that's kind of my quick way in. Van, I guess it's your turn.
Well, yeah, here's the way I look at these two movies comparing them, and they're not two movies I've ever really compared to each other before, so this is really interesting to me. They both have very high points. To me, they're both mediocre Bond movies at best, but they both have some very high points. The Living Daylights has the great Gibraltar scene at the beginning, and the only thing better than sneaky Bond in a black suit is multiple sneaky agents in black suits in war games that turn deadly. That's pretty darn cool. Plus, it's on Gibraltar, which is awesome because I love all the Aubrey and Matrin books where they go around there. And it's got the Gibraltar monkeys, so Mira loves that. That's awesome. It's also got the deadly milkman assassin.
Oh, Necros.
Necros is pretty tough. I really like him. The way he uses Walkman headphones and milk bottles as deadly weapons is amazing. But the Man with the Golden Gun has, it's got Christopher Lee. That's like, boom, you just threw down the trump card right there. And it's got some other awesome stuff. The problem with both of these movies is that both of these movies have some high points that stand with most of the high points of the whole series. You know, you can put Christopher Lee against any Bond villain and he looks fine. You can put some parts of Living Daylights against any Bond movie and it holds up. The problem is they both also have stuff that's worthy of A View to a Kill. And that is The Living Daylights has the horrible guy that thinks he's Napoleon or Genghis Khan and blows up his toy soldiers, which I hate. And The Man with the Golden Gun just doesn't do enough with Christopher Lee. It looks like a made-for-TV movie from 1974 instead of a big-screen movie. So it just doesn't do it. It settles for a whole bunch of stuff involving that laser gun with a solar power, which I just, you know, I mean, that's such a step down from the Connery movies, like You Only Live Twice, to go to him with the stupid laser gun. So I'm going to say the lows in The Living Daylights are slightly lower. I'm going to vote for The Man with the Golden Gun.
What did Joe Don Baker ever do to you?
I agree on the Joe Don Baker commentary. I don't like that part, but reminding me, I watched The Living Daylights again the other day. I think it's on Amazon Prime, and I went back and watched it. And the Necros stuff, as the using the Walkman cord to strangle people and the milk bottles, I'm voting for Living Daylights because of that.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. I still, like, every time I hear like a Pretenders song, I'm always like, who's gonna strangle me? Because that was like, he was big on strangling people to the Pretenders. I think everybody knows where I'm going to go with this, even though it wasn't an easy decision. My borderline, well, okay, full-on man crush for Timothy Dalton is going to force my hand, and I'm going to vote for The Living Daylights. No slight on Golden Gun. I think they're pretty comparable, but I'm a Dalton man, and I just really enjoy Living Daylights just a little bit more.
All right, so we have our second round set. I think that was a very good competition, and I don't have a problem with that. It was very close for me. I can go either way, so that's good. So here's how the second round is going to go. We're going to do the first four, and we'll just see how long that takes, and we'll either stop there or we'll continue on, just depending. So here's the entire second round bracket. These are the 16 films that advance. Game one is You Only Live Twice versus The Living Daylights. Whew.
Oof.
Game two, From Russia with Love versus Moonraker. Ugh. Oh, man. That hurts that hurts my soul a little bit. Game three is Goldfinger versus License to Kill.
That hurts my soul.
Yeah. By the way, I have to say, right, I just have to say up front, I did this blind using the numbers and the rankings and how they came out point-wise. I did not strategically put one against another. Because believe me, if I had, I'd have put like Moonraker against the worst one of the others, you know. I didn't want it to lose in the next round, but it is. There's no bias here. It's mathematical. Okay. And game four, GoldenEye versus Spectre. Now, that's the top half of the bracket. Here's the bottom half of the bracket, or the other side of the bracket, rather. Game 5 will be Live and Let Die versus Skyfall. Game 6 will be For Your Eyes Only versus The Spy Who Loved Me. A little more on more there. And by the way, we're in single elimination now. You got three matches, you got three chances, you know, before you got to, you know, do the round robin, but now you got to go up, you lose and you're out. Game 7 is On Her Majesty's Secret Service versus Dr. No. Woo!
That's a barn burner.
That's strong. And lastly, Game 8, and this may be honestly the strong, at least to me, this may be the strongest matchup of all 8. Thunderball versus Casino Royale. Dang. Thunderball versus Casino Royale. I'm like, I don't even know there. I just honestly don't know. All right. So let's get into this. Jared, we'll let you start us out here. I guess we'll just kind of stick with that formula we used just now. We'll each kind of go around and talk about the matchup, and then we'll go around and vote. How does that sound?
Sounds good.
All right. So, Jared, You Only Live Twice versus The Living Daylights.
It's like you're asking me to just throw one of my favorite things out of the window here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know we just talked about The Living Daylights, and I have such love for the movie. And I think we've talked about this before, too. It hits me in a sweet spot personally, because it came out right when I moved to Germany, and living in Europe, and a lot of it takes place in Europe. And it just, and A-ha was a very popular band in Germany. They sang the theme song. So I have a lot of personal ties to it, but... You know, You Only Live Twice. It's freaking Volcano Bases and Little Nelly and, you know, Asian Sean Connery.
That is kind of weird.
Which is always a treat. but, I mean, it's like, it's almost as classic Connery as classic Connery gets. And while I've stolen this phrase from you, Van, I know how you say, you know, Pierce Brosnan's your favorite, but you think Connery's the best.
Yes.
I'm like that with Timothy Dalton. Timothy Dalton's my favorite, but I think Connery's the best. So, In my mind, you know, this is not me casting my official vote because it's not time for that yet, but it's going to be tough to unseat a classic Connery. So that's my thoughts.
Yeah, I hear you. John, You Only Live Twice in The Living Daylights.
Ninjas. Volcano. Okay.
That's it.
We just talked about Living Daylight, so I think I mean I like the movie. Again, I like the villain stuff. I just talked about it, but Ninjas Volcano. You know, it's got Ernst Drabo Blofeld in it.
Yes, it does.
And as you said, Connery at the peak of his power, so that's a lot.
It's strong. Yeah. Here's the thing. You Only Live Twice has always been my favorite Bond. Because it's like it's got enough. I mean, I'll be the first to admit that it's the Bond that really starts to really go over the top. I mean, this is the one. If Dr. No set up the basic tropes of the characters, like, you know, how M works, how Bond works, how Moneypenny works, that kind of stuff, right? That's what Dr. No did. Having the girl that he rescues at the end in the life, you know, raft or something. I mean, Dr. No set up some of those tropes. Goldfinger set up even more of the tropes of how the biggest Bond movies would go. But You Only Live Twice is the one that set up the Gonzo Bond, the superhero Bond, the world-saving Bond, stopping somebody from, like, killing the entire planet or creating giant laser cannons or stuff like that. You Only Live Twice is the cartoon Bond at its birth, at its infancy, when it was a new thing. I mean, and then you throw in the fact that it's the first one to, you know, I mean, I know that he went to Turkey in From Russia with Love, but this is one where he goes to the East, right, to Japan. It had only been 22 years since World War II, and... It came out the year before I was born, by the way, which is kind of cool to me. It was the last Bond to come out before I was born. It's got Connery before he turned into the Diamonds Are Forever Connery. I mean, I know he was starting to show his wear and tear a little bit, but not enough yet. It's got the fantastic battle in the volcano base. It's got so many great things. So I'm all day long. You only live twice. So I guess I was third. So I'll go ahead and say I'm voting You Only Live Twice. Anybody, let's see. John, how are you voting?
You Only Live Twice.
Jared, is it a sweep?
This is going to put me in a unique position because now I can just vote, you know, Living Daylights and not feel bad about
there
it.
There you go.
Now, if I'm honest, and as we move into these last rounds, I'm basing off of how much rewatchability they have. How much do I want to rewatch this movie? Right. And yeah, it's good. I'm going to have to go. You Only Live Twice, much to my chagrin.
All right. And I'm going to mark the ones we've already done.
I mean, Ninja's Volcano, right? That's what John said.
That's it. Yeah.
Sometimes it's not complicated.
I know, right? I think I've already discovered, like, we're going to, like, 8 months from now, Van's going to come out with a new, you know, sci-fi novel. It's going to be called Ninja's Volcano, and we're going to know where that came from.
Ninja Volcano. Revenge of the Ninja Volcano. That's right. All right. The second matchup in round two. We're zipping along at a nice clip here, but we haven't talked about either one of these yet tonight. Our second matchup, and this is another classic against one that has a kind of a spotty reputation. It got in as a wild card. And that is From Russia with Love, which I believe was a straight nine sweep, against Moonraker. Now, let's see. Who wants to kick us off talking about those two movies? Because that's two very different movies, isn't it?
I'll go.
Go ahead, John. Show us the way.
From Russia with Love, again, is 1963 Bond. It's a very Cold War Bond. He goes to Turkey. There's a lot of the spy stuff. Rosa Klebb, the Lecter machine, all that kind of stuff. Kieran Bayes, the Bond ally in Turkey, and they have all the cool spying and stuff there. But it's very much, we talked about it at the time. It's the classic. It's the peak of kind of Cold War Bond, where it's really about, you know, kind of.
It's about spying.
It's about spying and spies fighting each other. Inspectors involved, but it's really, to me, it comes across as a very Cold War movie. And very personal kind of detail stuff in terms of the fighting and the relationships and stuff. Mm-hmm. Moonraker, you know, is big, epic, Roger Moore, Save the Planet.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, you know, big scenes with Jaws trying to kill him, big boat chase through the Amazon, visit to Drax's estate early on in the movie. That's kind of some weird, creepy parts of that, honestly. And then, you know, then at the end, the big open the space shuttle and do fight it out in space, in this huge, confusing space battle. So I think it's two very different kind of movies, but they're both still really entertaining and enjoyable.
Jared, From Rush with Love and Moonraker.
Whew. Polar opposites.
Yeah, I was going to say that I was going to say, since you both have just hit on that, let me just interject. I don't think you could pick two other movies here that are more different than these two.
Yeah, I think you're right. John's absolutely right. From Rush with Love is very espionage oriented, very Cold War. And Moonraker is, Eon Productions trying to cash in on the Star Wars craze. Mm-hmm. And that's two very, very different things. And again, like we talked about at the top of this episode, it comes down to, what do you like more? Do you like a little bit of fun, goofy Bond, or do you like a very serious Bond? From Rush with Love, I think everybody will always point to the train fight between Bond and Grant is one of the best sort of close quarters combat, a lot of fun to watch, and like I said, a lot of intrigue. And we also have to remember at the time, because world travel was not as accessible as it is now, it was very exotic. It was super exotic, you know, at the time. So, you know, it has a lot going for it. And then Moonraker, you know, Bond fights a snake. That doesn't happen all the time. And I mean, what is, it's got a gondola car and a double taking pigeon. So there's a lot of different things going on. But Moonraker is a very fun movie, though. It's fun to watch. So pluses and minuses both ways.
The double taking pigeon gets so much crap.
I didn't say I didn't like the double taking pigeon. I just said he's there.
It was just one of those. There's a whole series of things they put into the Roger Moore movies that make us cringe today. They made us cringe back then, honestly. From the Tarzan yell to the slide whistle on the jump over the, you know, the boat jump to, you know, there's just so many. Anything with Sheriff Pepper, you know, I mean, all that stuff. But
don't say an unkind word about JW.
JW Pepper. It's really hard for me to compare these two because I love them both in completely different ways. You know, let me do Moonraker first from my view. Moonraker is a movie that I have come to love more and more over the years. And part of it is because it gets so maligned. And the stuff that Moonraker gets criticized for, I think is vastly unfair. For two reasons. One, is there some goofy stuff in Moonraker? Yes. You know what? There's goofy stuff in every Roger Moore Bond, including Live and Let Die. Does it go into outer space? Sure. Is that ridiculous? No. They go into Earth orbit. It's just a little further than Japan or something. I mean, people act like they get in the Millennium Falcon and Chewie flies them to Alderaan. I mean, they go up into a space station. That's not, you know what, guys? We actually have a space station up there right now, and the shuttles used to go, when we flew the shuttles, actually went to it. So it wasn't that far-fetched at all. It's like if, to me, making fun of them going up in the shuttles to a space station in Moonraker is like if a movie came out about, pretending there was an internet in 1971. And we're like, oh, Bond uses the internet. Well, yeah, it exists. You know, part of what Bond does is kind of predict future things that are going to come out in technology. That's a part of what it just happens to be a space station in that movie. It's, you know, but anyway, that's always just been a pet peeve of mine. But the thing
tell,
is,
tell us how you really feel about it.
I think you're holding back.
I'm not and that's only like the last reel because, you know, there's those great world traveling. It's got some of the best settings in the whole series. They go to Venice, they go to Rio, they go to that great giant estate that's like the Biltmore on steroids. I mean, it's got some great locations before they ever even go to space. So,
but then it's got that dumb thing in space that never existed and never will.
I wish I had the soundboard fired up.
Jared, when he flies the space shuttle down that trench and fires the torpedoes into the little hole that blows the space
station. Hey, you don't know that Bond didn't bullseye womp rats with his T-16?
That's what I was about to say. Well played, sir.
Yes.
I do really appreciate... Moonraker was a movie that I saw in the theaters, and it's one of the first Bond movies I saw in the theater, I think. Yep. And I really appreciate, especially to me, like the boat chase in the Amazon was so fun and so exciting at the time.
Right up until Jaws pulls the steering wheel off and makes a face. They got a Roger Moore everything, dang it.
I will be honest with you too, Van. Your love and passionate, you know, defense of Moonraker has made me, it used to be my least favorite one. It was my bottom Bond, and it no longer is.
Wow.
Thanks to you.
Wow.
Thanks to you, it has moved up. And I don't know if you can hear this. Oh, you heard that. Yeah. That's my Moonraker trading cards that I'm currently going through while we're talking about this.
You sorry son of a gun.
I have a complete set.
Seriously,
though, your passion for it has made me appreciate it more. So I'm waiting for my passion for Timothy Dalton to make you
I said nice things about Living Daylights there.
You did. Fair's fair.
And you keep waving those Bond trading cards around, and when I join Spectre, I'm going to go into the R for Revenge division.
I'll send you pictures of my complete trading card set.
All right, can we vote?
Let's vote. Yeah,
I have more to say about trading cards.
No, you don't. I talked about Moonraker, and then I guess for Much With Love, we've talked about it a lot, but it is a totally different movie. But you know what, though? It's got the cool spy stuff in it, and it's got a gorgeous, gorgeous Bond girl. She's for me a top three or four, easy.
Number one.
You got a number one? All right, we have to do it. We'll have to do a World Cup of Bond girls at some point in the future and lose our entire female audience. But hey, the James Bond Radio guys did it, so we can get away with it too.
All right. Both of the ladies that listen to it.
That's
show.
Right. That's, oh my gosh. And Alan will quit just on principle. So we'll be down to just us. All right. So Jared voting from Russia with Love or Moonraker.
I'm going to have to go from Russia with Love. No, again, no, Moonraker's moving up the charts, thanks to you. But I think just which one would I rather rewatch? From Russia with Love.
All right, let me type that in. From nope, not yet. What am I thinking?
Go ahead. Now, you know you want to sing it. Go ahead.
I was just
ahead,
typing.
Matt Monroe.
All right, that's one vote for From Russia with Love. John, From Russia with Love or Moonraker? It's tough.
I'm voting Moonraker.
Whoa!
This is a heart versus head thing right now.
Do you know what this means? This means that John has just put From Russia with Love and a knife in my hands.
Oh, man. I don't know who I feel worse for here.
He has put the movie that finished second when we did this on Facebook last year and a knife in my hands, a secret knife that popped out of my briefcase.
You got to do you, man.
Oh, you know what? I would love to, but I just can't. I got to go From Russia with Love.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm hurts.
Sweating over here.
That hurts me because I would have loved you. You gave me you opened the door. But I just could not, in all credibility, say that I like that Moonraker is better than From Russia with Love. This is a very subjective thing, of course, but even so, I don't want to lose all credibility as the host of this show on the fourth episode. No, no, man, that was awfully tempting, but I just couldn't do it. Get thee behind me, Satan.
I have a question for John. John, did you really vote with your heart, or did you just vote that way so Van would have to make this decision?
Don't torture me. Both. All right. Well, we'll roll right along here. Match number three for tonight, Goldfinger versus License to Kill. Now, let me just say a couple of things up front here. I know, Jared, I know you like License to Kill a whole lot.
Mm-hmm. I do.
And you're probably facing a similar thing now that I just did before. Which is like a sentimental favorite versus a gold-plated classic. And you kind of have to say, do I want to be, you know...
I see what you're doing here.
So we're gonna leave you for last.
Oh, boy. I see what's happening. Okay. I can handle this.
John, Goldfinger versus License to Kill.
Vote or talk about it?
Talk about it, and then we'll vote.
License to Kill is the revenge drug movie.
Yeah.
I mean, where he, you know, goes crazy and goes to South America and kills the drug dealers. And it's the most violent. I mean, there's some good stuff in it. And then, you know, Goldfinger has the Las Vegas stuff and the weird assassin guys.
Wait. Don't get it confused with Diamonds Are Forever now. You were talking about...
I'm sorry. You're right. Yeah. No, Goldfinger has the great the robbery at Fort Knox.
Odd job.
Yeah, I love the, and it's got the golf scene.
Oh yeah,
which, you know, where basically Bond, you know, one of my favorite scenes in any of the movies, where Bond is basically messing with the supervillain by accusing him of cheating at golf. You know, by awesome. Setting him up to cheat at golf, which is like, you really? This is it? The guy's trying to destroy the world, and you're going to hit him with some kind of penalty for giving him the wrong golf ball? So
that's awesome.
I mean, I love that part. So two great movies, but I think, to me, A License to Kill is, I mean, I think the it's the most... even considering the more recent ones, I think it's the most violent Bond movie.
Yeah, I think it is.
Jared, what do you think?
Hell yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. That was my review for License to Kill.
Yeah, I won't let Mira watch it.
You know what? Here's the weird part. It is my 11-year-old son's favorite James Bond movie is License to Kill. And really? I guess I'm a bad parent for letting him watch it. He loves that stuff with the semis. you know, all the things to do with the semi-trucks at the end, which you got to admit is pretty cool. There's a lot of really cool things about License to Kill. Like John alluded to, it's a Bond revenge film, and I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that this is Bond off the chain. Basically, you messed with the wrong people. Like, Bond doesn't have a quote-unquote family, but they messed with his family. And watch out. And I just adore that. I like a Bond off the rails. It's got one of my favorite lines of any Bond movie when Robert Davi says, "So you're like a problem solver?" He says, "You know, more of a problem eliminator."
Yeah, that's a good line. I love
that line. And that's good stuff. And it's got Talisa Soto. She's probably my number two Bond girl. I think she's just gorgeous. And she does a pretty good performance for one of her first films. It's got the son of Karen Bay in it.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of neat how they kept it in the Bond family. So it's got a lot going for it. I mean, I even like the theme song. I like Gladys Knight, so I like it all. But in comes Goldfinger, which to me is the most definitive Bond. It has everything. It's like everything at its peak. It's like, I feel like it's Connery at his peak. It's a great plot. It's got a great henchman. It's got an awesome song. First album I ever bought when I was 5 years old, Flea Market, $1 was the Goldfinger soundtrack. My life was set on a course from there on. I would buy things at flea markets and yard sales, and I would love James Bond.
That's it.
I mean, it's just got a ton going for it. So this is definitely a tougher one for me than maybe for most. I think a lot of Bond people will just go up Goldfinger and move on. But I just love License to Kill. But Van, you haven't got the weigh in yet.
I'll give License to Kill this. It is different. And, you know, when a Bond movie comes out, you want that Bond movie that's brand new to be everything. But as time goes by and it slips into its niche in the pantheon, then a little variation's nice. In other words, I'm willing to forgive things in movies several movies ago that I'm still upset about in the movies that just came out. You know what I mean? They find their place over time. And License to Kill is one I hated when it first came out. I thought this is like an 80s action movie. It should have been Bruce Willis or something. And then over time, it's found its place. Like you say, it's the violent revenge movie. And that's fine, but it's not a classic Bond movie. Goldfinger is. And the one thing that when you were talking about Goldfinger, the thing that struck me, because you're talking about him playing golf and everything, there's few Bond movies where Bond spends as much of his time just screwing with the villain, just poking him in the eye. He messes with him playing cards, and he messes with him playing golf. I mean, if Goldfinger, you know, bet on horses, Bond would be out there tripping up the horses. Which takes us to View to Kill, strangely. So I like that. What I like is that Bond keeps messing with him, and then finally, he goes too far and he ends up strapped to the table with a laser heading toward the Bond family jewels. So Bond gets both, you know, an hour of torturing Goldfinger from up close, and then he gets the tables literally turned on him and nearly cut in half for his trouble. And you see Bond literally, you know, genuinely panicked. Which is, it's like one of the few times in the movies that he's like, oh crap, I'm about to die. So it has, I mean, beyond just all the stuff we always talk about Goldfinger, it's got some really cool moments, even if it wasn't, you know, one of the classics. So true, Goldfinger true. All the way for me. John, you
so you're, go voting, you're voting Goldfinger then?
I'm going all the way Goldfinger.
Goldfinger.
Yep.
Well, boys, I got to tell you, I love Timothy Dalton and I love License to Kill, but it has been a long-standing fact, if you've known Jared for any amount of time, which you really haven't, but Goldfinger has always been my favorite James Bond movie, so Goldfinger.
There it is. All right, it swept its way in. Okay, and that leaves us with match number four. We have C1 versus B3. That will be GoldenEye, 1995, Pierce Brosnan, versus the most recent James Bond movie, Daniel Craig's Spectre. Shall I start us out this time for a change? I think I shall. because I want to say
I'm looking forward to this 20-minute rant on Spectre.
No. I can summarize it much quicker than that. Spectre to me is a movie I wanted so badly to remind me of those mid-60s movies and take me back to those classics. I don't think there's ever been a Bond movie that I had my hopes raised higher, and it almost was inevitable that I would be disappointed. And then, of course, the final act of that movie more than disappointed me. But there's a lot in this movie that's really, really good. I mean, the opening pre-credits business with the Day of the Dead and everything is up there in the top. I mean, it's among the best openings. And it's got a lot of really, really good stuff. And it had the potential to be even better. I think that my favorite Daniel Craig moments in any of his movies are when he sneaks in with a bunch of criminals, because the two moments he does that are in Quantum of Solace and Spectre, and those are both very, very awesome scenes in movies that I otherwise am kind of on. So you get that in Spectre. So Spectre's got several really awesome classic Bond scenes in it. GoldenEye, though, has my favorite James Bond. It has a really good villain in Sean Bean. It's got a really good Bond villain girl in, what's her name, On a Top. It's got Russia after the fall of the Soviet Union and a tank chase. And I mean, it's got that great opening scene at the dam. It's got so many cool bits. I really, really love it. So, all right, let's see. John, GoldenEye versus Spectre. John. Hello.
Sorry, I muted my microphone for a second, and then I started talking without unmuting it. I thought you were going to go for a much longer rant on Spectre. I really did.
I told you.
John thought he had more time.
I thought I had all the time in the world.
Well done. Well done.
Spectre, I mean, I enjoy the Daniel Craig movies. I do. I really, really do. And Spectre is a confused movie, and GoldenEye has a lot of classic stuff in it. I love the agent turning, you know, part in GoldenEye, mm-hmm. The big radio telescope thing at the end. And there's some cool parts in Spectre. I mean, the car chase in Rome. Mm-hmm. That's in Spectre, right?
That's Drax from Guardians of the Galaxy, Mr. Hinks chasing him around.
Yeah. So, I mean, I enjoy that scene a lot. Because it's got two great cars racing around a beautiful city at night, and then there's also some comedy parts to it and some good action. And I think both the movies have some good fight scenes and some good kind of plot twists to them. But I think, you know, there's parts of Spectre that just want to make you go, eh, you know. So, Jared.
I'm the author of all your pain, John.
That was a pretty good book, Jared. I thought you did a really good job writing that.
Thank you. I wrote under my name, Franz Obenhofer. I think I can boil this down pretty simply, just playing off of something you said, Van. Mm-hmm. You said, you know, when that new Bond movie comes out, you want it to be like everything, mm-hmm. right? And I wanted that too with Spectre, because they were like, I was like, oh snap, they're going to reveal Blofeld, mm-hmm. you know. But as we mentioned in a previous episode, they revealed him in such a way that you had to be a fan of the franchise already to get any meaning out of it.
Yeah.
You had to be like one of us, like, oh, yeah, it's Blofeld. But like if you were some guy off the street that just kind of tuned in for the Craig movies and he's like, my real name is Ernst Stavro Blofeld. And they'd be like, okay, that means nothing to me.
Right.
On the flip side of that, going back to what you said, you want that new Bond movie to be everything. And let me tell you something, GoldenEye was everything.
Yeah.
We had been on a 6-year hiatus. We got that Bond that a lot of people have been hungry for, especially, I know, Van, you were a big fan of Brosnan, and I like Brosnan a lot too.
Yep.
And he came with guns blazing, amazing opening scene, kick-ass theme song, tank chase. I mean, I'm invincible. Everything. Everything. It might be the most rewatchable James Bond movie they've ever made.
Wow.
So I don't want to give you too much away about the way I'm voting, but I'm voting for GoldenEye.
That's a strong recommendation, too. Yeah, I think that we Alan Cumming's contribution to that movie is not noted enough, and I'll throw out that
every actor, like, what's the word, supporting actor, like the guy who played, like, the Russian general, mm-hmm. you know, he was great. Like, everybody was great.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Everybody was great.
Use the bumper. That's what it's for.
That's what it's for. Yeah, that guy or... Yeah, I mean, just everybody was great. GoldenEye can do no wrong in my eyes. And it was so good, and it's so great that it came after that long hiatus where we were hungry for it. Yep. And they gave us something good to eat.
I'm going to go ahead and just throw down, I've got to vote for GoldenEye. John?
So it's two for GoldenEye?
I'm assuming
you can do whatever you want.
I'm assuming Jared is sounding like he's voting for GoldenEye, so yes.
I'm voting for GoldenEye.
3-0 GoldenEye.
There it is. All right. So let me enter it into the fourth spot.
In our Q Branch provided computer that we do all of our stuff here.
Yeah, which is totally,
podcast.
Totally secure. And I'm trying to figure out why it says, ha, 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 Spectre. Ha, 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 Spectre right now. I don't know. It's something I must have typed earlier and forgot. Anyway,
click on it.
It's like a little revolving skull and crossbones. I'm not quite sure what that's doing on my screen. But anyway.
Just click on it.
Yeah, we'll see. So, all right, gentlemen. Well, with stuff going on at my house here tonight, I think this is a good stopping point for tonight. Let us wrap up here, and we will pick up next time with the second half of round two and fill out our entire third round bracket. This is a little shorter show, but I got something that just came up that I have to go tend to. So, gentlemen, I appreciate it. The James Bond podcast here, otherwise known as On Her Majesty's Secret Podcast, will return.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.